From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. What I like to do when a consequential postal news story takes place is to spend some time taking a somewhat deep dive into it. There were two events that occurred that have the potential to be far-reaching, and both relate to rulings issued earlier this week by the five-member Postal Regulatory Commission. The first ruling concerns an August 29th postal rate increase, and the other deals with a change to the performance standards for market-dominant postal products, which includes first-class mail. Before we get into those two important Postal Regulatory Commission rulings, let's spend a bit of time talking about legislative action and inaction that took place this week. First, the House Oversight and Reform Committee approved legislation to provide all federal employees paid family and medical leave. The bill includes individuals employed by the United States Postal Service. The bill, H.R. 564, if passed by the Senate and signed into law by the President, would extend to employees of the Postal Service the same paid family leave benefits that were authorized for federal employees in a 2019 law. H.R. 564 was authored by House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairwoman Carolyn Maloney and would provide paid leave benefits to postal employees for a maximum of 12 weeks over a 12-month period. Postal employees were excluded from such paid leave in the legislation enacted a year and a half ago. Generally speaking, H.R. 564 would enable federal and postal employees to take paid leave for all purposes covered under the original Family and Medical Leave Act, which was enacted in 1993 and signed into law by then-President Bill Clinton. That law provided for unpaid family and medical leave. It is anticipated that the provisions of H.R. 564 will be incorporated into a more encompassing bill to enhance its chance of enactment. As we approach the fall, our retirees are becoming more attentive to the inflation rate, as that determines retiree cost of living adjustments. In that regard, Representative John Garamondi of California introduced a bill, H.R. 4315, which would replace the current index for calculating Social Security and federal retirement costs of living adjustments to an inflation index referred to as the CPIE, that is, the Consumer Price Index for the elderly. And we define the elderly as those 62 years of age and older. Currently, the cost of living adjustment calculation is based on the CPIU, that is, the Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers. The reason behind the Garamondi proposal is that a retirement cost of living adjustment should best reflect the spending patterns of the retirees rather than the spending patterns of urban consumers. For example, retirees spend a greater portion of their total expenditures on medical services and housing than urban consumers. And urban consumers tend to spend more on food, transportation, and clothing. As a consequence of the difference in the spending patterns of retirees and urban consumers, the CPIE is slightly higher than the CPIU, and that is, it exceeds the CPIU by about a quarter of a percentage point. However, that fractional difference is compounded over time, and over a 10-year period, the difference between the CPIE and the CPIU could be rather significant. There are currently 34 co-sponsors to Representative Garamondi's bill. The third legislative issue I'd like to talk about is H.R. 3076, the Bipartisan Postal Reform Act of 2020, that was introduced by Oversight and Reform Committee Chairwoman Carolyn Maloney and the committee's top Republican member, James Comer. The bill is currently co-sponsored by 62 members of the House of Representatives. It was hoped that the legislation would be on the House floor during the last week of July, that is, prior to the August congressional recess. Inasmuch as the House Ways and Means Committee and the House Energy and Commerce Committee have yet to discharge the bill, and that there is a cascade of appropriations bills to be considered the last week of July, it is doubtful that there will be sufficient time to have a floor vote on the postal bill prior to next Friday, that is when the House is scheduled to recess until Labor Day. Moreover, in September, floor votes are not presently scheduled until Monday, September 20th, at which time appropriations bills and the perennial raise the debt ceiling fight will dominate the legislative agenda. The end of the fiscal year and the impact of reaching the United States debt limit will fall on September 30th. All I can say about the postal bill is stay tuned. So now let's go about 1/2 mile from the U.S. Capitol to downtown D.C. and the Postal Regulatory Commission, where an important postal ruling and a separate advisory opinion were issued earlier this week. On Monday, the Postal Regulatory Commission approved a 7% rate hike for most market-dominant postal products. Newspapers and catalog postage would increase by almost 9%. These adjustments would raise the rate of a first-class single-piece letter from 55 cents to 58 cents, effective August 29th. What makes this rate increase unique is that this is the first time the Postal Service is using its new rate authority granted by the Postal Regulatory Commission in November 2020, which permitted the agency to propose a rate that exceeds inflation, that is, other than for so-called exigent reasons. The new rate regime was constructed to take into account the Postal Service's mandate to pre-fund retiree health costs and to recognize the impact that shrinking mail volume has on delivery point density, that is, the increasing cost of the Postal Service to deliver mail to each delivery point. The Postal Service projects that the rate increase, that is, the postage rate increase in this rate case, would bring in about $1.7 billion in additional revenue. However, a number of members of Congress requested the Postal Service to defer the rate increase until January 2022 because of the pending postal legislation and the growth in the cash on hand for the United States Postal Service. In the meantime, some mailing trade groups have challenged the new rate system in federal court. They argue that the Postal Regulatory Commission does not have the authority to permit the Postal Service to raise rates more than inflation, notwithstanding that right to raise rates was included in the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act back in 2006. The court challenge was filed shortly after the Postal Regulatory Commission implemented the new rate regulations late last year. This week, the Postal Regulatory Commission also issued its much-anticipated advisory opinion relating to the Postal Service's proposed changes to its delivery standards. These new standards would slow down mail for about 40% of the country's mail volume. Although the Postal Regulatory Commission does not have the legal authority to stop implementation of the new standards, the Postal Regulatory Commission did indicate that it believed the proposal was not ready for prime time, and it encouraged the Postal Service to consider the full recommendations outlined in the advisory opinion prior to implementing its plan. The Postal Regulatory Commission noted the lack of operational testing of the service changes, particularly with regard to changes to mail processing. The Postal Regulatory Commission also took issue with the Postal Service's projected cost savings from the changes and the lack of evidence to substantiate the Postal Service's assertion that customers preferred reliability over speed, or that customers actually differentiated reliability from speed. Finally, the Postal Regulatory Commission found that the Postal Service could not predict the impact that slower standards would have on mail volume and cast doubt on the Postal Service's capability of achieving successful implementation, reliability, and efficiency are required. Postal Regulatory Commission Chairman Michael Kubianda and Vice Chairman Ashley Poling found it necessary to add their own views to the advisory opinion, and those views were appended to the advisory opinion. In part, Chairman Kubianda observed that the proposal, quote, failed to meet the needs of the moment, and the proposal was not supported by the Postal Service's own testimony. Chairman Kubianda declared that the Postal Service should not adopt the changes without first addressing the issues outlined in the opinion. In fact, some of those changes have major policy implications, according to Kubianda. Furthermore, Chairman Kubianda remarked that the meager savings attributable to the standard changes may not outweigh the impact of those changes on vulnerable population and customer segments. The chairman concluded his comments to suggest that Congress may want to consider providing the Postal Regulatory Commission with a more decisive role for deliberating over nationwide operational changes by the Postal Service, such as those in the current case. Postal Regulatory Commission Vice Chairman Ashley Poling also felt the necessity to underscore her profound discomfort over the Postal Service changes to its service standards with her added views. She began her comments stating that she agreed with the Postal Regulatory Commission's analysis that the Postal Service failed to demonstrate that it would be able to achieve cost savings, processing efficiencies, or service improvements due to the gaps in the agency's evidence and explanations. Vice Chair Poling concluded that she did not believe that the Postal Service should proceed with its proposal at this time. In support of her conclusion, Poling illustrated the historical decline in service standards over the years, how the proposed standards would harm rural America and vulnerable populations, including the elderly and the poor. Ms. Poling closed her written views stating that the Postal Service did not spend the time or resources necessary to thoroughly consult or incorporate the views of its most important customer, the American people. On a final note with regard to the advisory opinion, as NapsChat listeners may recall, 2 weeks ago I hosted Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro. One of the promises he made during that podcast was that he would go to federal court to halt the Postal Service's proposed service standard changes if he believed that the Postal Service did not comply with the law. On Wednesday afternoon, Attorney General Shapiro, a man of his word, went to federal court in Philadelphia to stop the Postal Service's service standard changes. Stay tuned. I want to thank NapsChat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NapsChat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share NapsChat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, be safe and healthy.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm going